Basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly is on the air this week as the Bucks coming off a very, very successful week just days ago. Here, Giannis Antetokounmpo, by the way, just named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, guiding the Bucks to an undefeated record this past week. And look, we had mentioned earlier in this still early season, but mentioned earlier after a very disappointing 2-8 start for this Bucks team, it is still early. There is still a lot of time to course correct and right the ship. And that's exactly what the Bucks have started to do. Now, you're still not to 500, but you're as close as you can get at 8-9 now on the season. And suddenly the Bucks are right back in the thick of things in the Eastern Conference standings, in the top six now by way of this run that they have gone on. A couple of things have really driven this run that we've seen here. The defense is certainly a huge part of that for the Bucks. The injection of youth, too. The play of Andre Jackson Jr., the way Doc Rivers has really utilized him. A.J. Green, Gary Trent Jr. I know when we talk about the young players, a lot of times many people kind of limit it to those two names specifically, in Ajax and A.J. Green. Gary Trent Jr. is not that much older than that group either, joining the Bucks at 26 years old, and that was another big piece of those slumps, or that slump, I should say, early on in the season. The Bucks just weren't hitting shots, and Gary Trent Jr. specifically, dealing with a number of struggles, couldn't really tell how much of that was Gary Trent Jr. adjusting to what his new role was versus the back spasms that he was dealing with early in the season, but after a couple of games off, he's now started to hit shots at a high volume. Brook Lopez starting to knock down shots. Taurean Prince has consistently hit shots. So it's all starting to come together. And it also helps to have Giannis Antetokounmpo playing like an MVP once more with the way he has single-handedly fueled this Bucks offense. A lot of very impressive numbers to get to in terms of the offense for Giannis. And I think for Damian Lillard, for that matter, as well, that we will get to here during the course of the show. But the big thing to recognize is this Bucks defense. And we talked about this last year when Doc Rivers took over. One of the big adjustments that was made, at least in the early going, had to do with their transition defense. It was an area that, you know, I don't think there was any particular area you could have found defensively a year ago and said, hey, this is where the Bucks are excelling. But in transition, it was especially bad. They were the worst in the league, were among the worst in the league. I believe at the time of the coaching change, when Adrian Griffin was dismissed, the Bucks ranked 28th in transition defense efficiency. Their overall defense was in the bottom 10. It was 22nd at the time of that firing. But 28th in transition defense is simply not good enough. You can't really expect the Bucks, or shouldn't, I should say, expect the Bucks to have a great transition defense. It's an older group. It's one of the things that you kind of have to live with. But the big part of that is, look, as long as we can hover around league average, be somewhere in there, be in the top half of the league, we can make up for it with our half-court defense. And that's exactly what the Bucks have done so far this season, and especially the last 3 weeks, from November 1st onward. We'll get into those numbers since November, but the thing to know about their transition defense is it has been okay. You know, they're still giving up a high volume of transition opportunities. At last I checked, they're giving up the third most possessions in transition. And again, part of that has to do with the age. It's an older roster. It's a team that other teams are going to look at and say, we can run on this group. You know, not at all unlike the A.J. Green discussion that we've had. We've heard Doc Rivers talk about this. A.J. Green himself talked about this as well. He's one of those guys, and I think we all know what the obvious reason why is. He's one of those guys that other players are going to look at and say, well, we can take this guy. And what opposing teams have started to figure out is you can't. A.J. Green is solid defensively. He moves his feet well. He has good strength. He has a very, very high basketball IQ. He doesn't beat himself. And I think we said on last week's show, in some ways, it reminds you of Sam Hauser with the Boston Celtics, who is also a lethal shooter. And when he first emerged in the league or entered the league, you had opposing teams, the Bucks included, saying, let's go at this guy. And you slowly learned he can hold his own defensively. That's what we're seeing with A.J. Green. I think that's a large part of, or a part, I should say, of what we're seeing against the Bucks as a whole in transition defense. Part of it, too, is you got older players that have to get back in transition. But while they're giving up a high volume of those opportunities, when opponents do get in transition, the Bucks have been very, very good of late at limiting those in the middle of the pack in points opponents are scoring off transition. They've been extremely good in the half court, and that is going to be the blend, the recipe that you need for defensive success. If you're going to be just okay or average at best in transition, you better make up for it in other areas, and the Bucks have done that in the half court. A large part of that is Brook Lopez. It's Giannis. Giannis has had some incredible defensive plays so far this season. You think back to individual moments against the Pacers on Friday night, against the Houston Rockets the other night. The list goes on and on. It should have been against the Charlotte Hornets a little over a week ago in Charlotte. But nonetheless, Giannis has been that guy again. Brook Lopez continues to be one of the best shot blockers in the league, rim protectors. We've seen a more active Brook Lopez with his hands on the perimeter, creating steals. And you just have capable defenders surrounding this group. It's one of the things that a lot of us pointed to as a reason for confidence that this defense was, you know, not only going to be better, going to be much better and good enough to be a defense that keeps you in games and gives you a chance. That is exactly what we've seen. It's not just one thing, it's several things. So I do want to take a look at that and some of the numbers that we've seen from this Bucks defensive unit, especially since November 1st, because the start of the month of November almost perfectly lines up with Andre Jackson Jr. moving into the starting lineup, with seeing more A.J. Green and also DeLon Wright returning to the rotation. So we'll take a look at some of those defensive numbers after this, the reason to spark the Bucks' recent turnaround. We'll get into it next on Bucks Weekly. So we mentioned it has been quite a remarkable run for this Bucks team in the month of November, and especially contrasting it from those first eight games. I know some of those bled into November, but you look at the 2-8 start and what they've done since. The numbers are a little bit different if we just look at the last seven games, but a lot of this started in November, and it's kind of similar to what we saw last year for obviously different reasons. Where you think back to the first four games of the season, it was that fourth game in Toronto where the defense was, if we're being frank, an absolute disaster. And that was when the players had the meeting and the come-to-Jesus meeting, if you will, with Adrian Griffin to say, look, Brook Lopez can't play on the perimeter. We need him to play around the rim and, you know, protect the paint. It's foolish to have him out there in those spots and leave the basket unprotected. We saw the defense start to climb for a decent amount of time after that discussion took place and some tweaks were made defensively, but it ultimately fell back to where we saw it sit for, you know, not just under Adrian Griffin, but for the most part for the season. You know, when Doc Rivers came along, we talked about this a lot last year. He just kind of grabbed the low-hanging fruit and came in and level set expectations, but more importantly said, not so much here's what I need you to do, here are the things that I do not want you to do. And we saw a boost from that. Ultimately, it wasn't sustainable, and I don't think that was Doc Rivers' fault. I think, as we mentioned, there were a lot of upgrades that were made to this roster, and that was a big part of what we're seeing now, opposed to why we didn't see it a year ago. But since November 1st, the Bucks are 7-5, and you know, a week ago on this show, 2 weeks ago on this show, I know we started to have the conversations that, hey, this defense looks better. It's still not quite where it needs to be, but it's getting there. And it's getting to the point where it may be good enough for you. We've since had the discussion of, is the identity a defensive team that has Giannis, one of the best, if not the best, offensive player in the league, a closer in Damian Lillard, potentially a second closer in Chris Middleton, that it's a team that is going to dig in defensively, and they have enough offense to get it done. Well, since November 1st, to go back to that date, not only the 7-5 record, but the offense has started to come around, and a lot of that is recency. You know, what we've seen of late, especially during these past seven games. Offensively now, the Bucks are the 10th best offense in the league since that date of November 1st. A 114.5 offensive rating. They're just behind the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Chicago Bulls, who have a 114.7 and 114.8 offensive rating, respectively. Bulls are doing that with their three-point shooting and the pace that they play at. But defensively, this is going to be the most important thing to monitor. We all believe, and there's no reason to think otherwise, that the offense is going to continue to climb. And it's definitely, it should be a top 10 offense in the league, but it needs to be a top 5 offense. So we'll continue to monitor those steps, especially later in this week when there's potentially a big lift coming for this team. But defensively, for all intents and purposes, the Bucks have been a top 10 defense since November 1st. They have a 110.9 defensive rating. And I know I've mentioned offensive rating, defensive rating, and net rating quite a bit. For those of you that aren't quite as versed with it, it simply means if we give you 100 possessions, how many points on average are you scoring with those 100 possessions? So you think about a basket is worth 2 points. 110.9 points per 100 possessions is what you're scoring. So that 110.9 defensive rating, like I mentioned, it's essentially 10th. It's 11th right now, but they're tied with the Denver Nuggets and the Boston Celtics. All three of those teams, 110.9. So you're in a three-way tie, 9, 10, and 11. I don't care if it's just, you know, a couple of weeks stretch. If any of us would have been told, hey, there's going to be a period of time, and it's not just two or three games that we're talking about. It's going to be this chunk of the schedule where this Bucks defense plays as well as the Boston Celtics defense. Very few of us would have said that's true. There's no way that can be accurate, is what I think most of us would say. The age, the makeup of the roster, the teams. You know, that doesn't even matter the teams that you're playing. Just to say, hey, this is the level that the Bucks are playing at. That, to me, says the most about what this team has done defensively. They've dug in, and they're playing defense to the level of the Boston Celtics. They're not that far behind from teams like the Miami Heat, the Golden State Warriors. You know, their defense has been a big reason for their success so far this season. Bucks are not that far behind the Golden State Warriors defensively. Warriors with the 6th-best defense. The Bucks are only a point per 100 possessions behind them over the course of these 12 games since November 1st. So that's been big for this group. It leaves the Bucks with a net rating that's positive. And again, the first few weeks of the season, that was not the case. Their net rating, offensive rating minus defensive rating, what's the number that you're left with, is tied with the Golden State Warriors, who have gone 8-3 in this month of November, 12th best in the league. So you are knocking on the door of being in the top 10 in offense, defense, and net rating. That is the best tell of these successful teams and what there really is to it. Is this smoke and mirrors, or is there something to this? It's 3 weeks, right? It's not a season. It's 12 games that we're talking about. You got 2 more games left in this month of November. But if you can finish the month strong and be either knocking on the door or in the top 10 of all three of those, that, to me, is a huge, huge sign that this is not just the Bucks beating up on bad teams. And I know there's been some of that. But it's important to get in the win column, number one. Secondly, it's not just the bad teams that the Bucks have beaten. The Houston Rockets have been one of the best teams in the Western Conference now. By the way, the team with the best net rating in the month of November is the Houston Rockets, one of those teams that the Bucks beat. And you think about the schedule as a whole with these numbers. Granted, I know they weren't wins, but this included games against the Rockets, two against the Cavaliers, who are number two in net rating in this month. One against the Boston Celtics, number four in net rating. Two games against the Boston Celtics, I beg your pardon. So five games right there against teams that are in the top four in net rating. You played the Knicks, who are number seven in net rating. This has not been the lesser teams that the Bucks are beating up on. Now you got to start to win those games against the teams like the Celtics, like the Rockets, which you did, like the Knicks and the Cavs. But they're holding their own. And again, these are all signs of things starting to turn the corner for this Bucks team. Speaking of turning the corner, it's going to be very curious to hear how or if at all the national perspective on this team starts to change. To go from 2-8 and, you know, already starting to hear some of the chatter of, is it time to blow it up? Do you look into moving some of the big name players? Is it over already, Milwaukee? To now winning six out of your last seven, or as Doc Rivers has said, seven in a row. But how much does that discussion start to change? Well, one source to tap in for that is ESPN's Tim Bontemps, and he is this week's guest on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You'll hear that conversation coming up next on Bucks Weekly. All right, you just heard the thoughts of Tim Bontemps on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, we've talked before about the narratives that are surrounding this Bucks team, and I guess you would boil it down to the signal and the noise. I understand pointing out the perimeter defense, as there are questions. I mean, certainly the Bucks do not have the volume of perimeter defenders as a team like the Boston Celtics, even, you know, the New York Knicks. But I don't know what team stacks up there, or if they do. You know, I think you could look at a team like the Orlando Magic and say, well, it's a pretty good start. What Franz Wagner has been able to do, both offensively and defensively. Jalen Suggs looks every bit like these Drew Holiday in training now. But the questions with the Orlando Magic are going to be on the offensive side of the ball. And that's really where we're at. There is one team that, I suppose two, if we're going to include the Oklahoma City Thunder. But that's it in teams that you would look at and say, hey, they got to figure it out on both ends. And even then, the Celtics won a title last year. The Thunder were eliminated in the second round of the playoffs. Still a young team that needs to get there. So that's the one thing when you hear that frequently of how do you match up against the Boston Celtics. I get that. The Boston Celtics can exploit this. Celtics are the best makeup of, on paper, of a team that exists in this league. But as we've mentioned, the perimeter defense has been much improved for the Bucks this season. It's not just Andre Jackson Jr. It's what we've seen, as we mentioned, from A.J. Green as a more than capable defender. Torian Prince, what he's given you, an upgrade over what you got from Jay Crowder. Now, again, is that to suggest that Torian Prince is going to come in here and shut down Jason Tatum? No. But you like your chances of containing those perimeter threats a lot better with a combination of Torian Prince, A.J. Green, Andre Jackson Jr., Gary Trent Jr., and what he's given you. It is a marked improvement for this Bucks team this season. To me, the big thing is, okay, let's continue to see the offense grow and that two-man game between Giannis and Damian Lillard, because it has been up and down. I would agree there have been a lot of moments, last year especially, of the your turn, my turn. But I do think that has largely changed this season as well. You have not seen quite as much of it. We've seen, all jokes aside, I know we kind of joked about it a bit during the game on Saturday night, but we've seen now a number of times that Damian Lillard is throwing lobs to Giannis. For the longest time, Chris Middleton was the only player on the team that knew how to properly feed that to Giannis. We've seen a much, much stronger screen-setting game from Giannis for Damian Lillard. So that progress has been there. Maybe the Bucks have not made quite enough growth, maybe not enough to get to the level of the Boston Celtics. I want to dispute that at 8-9, but they've made growth. And it is going to be a process and a long season here, but I think this is a much different picture on both ends of the floor than it was a season ago. And, you know, even the notion of the Bucks have beaten a lot of nobodies. I mean, look, I get it. You beat the Houston Rockets, as we pointed to, a team that as of this moment has the third best record in the Western Conference. Now, you can't just live off beating one team. So you have to start to win some of these other games. And you look in the standings and you say, okay, you beat the Raptors, the Pistons, the Bulls, the Pacers, and the Hornets. You can only beat who's in front of you, though. And frankly, and look, the Pistons, Hornets, Raptors, those are all teams that are on the outside of the playoff picture right now. The Bulls and Pacers are both in there. And as we mentioned, Rockets have the third best record in the West. But these are all games we've seen the Bucks struggle mightily with and or lose a season ago. So we are starting to see that progress. And here's the other thing. Actually, you know what? We'll save this. The other thing to keep in mind for why this could be sustained growth for the Bucks. We'll get into that conversation and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly. So that schedule that we pointed to for the Bucks, you do have games coming up here. I don't know if you classify them as difficult. Tomorrow night you have the Miami Heat. They are a team that is directly in front of you in the standings. The Miami Heat are a 500 team. So I don't think beating the Heat is going to appease anyone and say, hey, the Bucks, they're starting to beat good teams. But again, it's the schedule that you've been dealt. Then you have the Washington Wizards. So you have a chance to finish the month of November, the games played in November, with a winning record. You do that, you're above 500 as we move into December, which, you know, should not be ordinarily something that we're celebrating. But from a 2-8 start to quickly dig out, I think is impressive and important for this team. Because look to our East. You know, we talked about, 2 weeks into the season, when you looked at the Bucks and the Sixers, the two most disappointing teams to start the season. And to be frank, there were a lot. People looked at the New York Knicks. Still look at the New York Knicks. I know they're above 500, but the Knicks are 9-7. And everything we heard in the offseason, starting to feel like deja vu all over again when you look back to the Bucks last season. If they won the offseason on paper, save for the 76ers and what they did. But those two teams, they won the offseason. Why isn't it working this early into the season, right? And I know the Bucks were 30-13, but those metrics, those numbers that we pointed out and said, hey, it's moving in the right direction for this Bucks team, the offensive rating, the defensive rating, all that, those numbers were not good, even at 30-13 a season ago. I think that was one of the reasons that led to the coaching change that we saw. But it just feels like it felt for Bucks fans a year ago, where the Knicks are 9-7. You know, there were some that would lead you to believe, hey, the Knicks just built the same type of team the Boston Celtics did. 9-7. The 76ers are 3-13. It takes time. You know, we all experienced this last year, whether or not you believed it at the time. It takes time. It's not video games. You can't just make a trade and boom, you're great overnight. You got to learn tendencies. You got to develop chemistry. You got to figure out how pieces fit, what you're missing from the piece that went out, how you replace that. That all takes time. And especially when you make trades as disruptive as the Bucks, as the Knicks have done this offseason. I'm not saying the Knicks are never going to figure it out and they're going to be a 500 team. Who knows? The 76ers as well. When you reshape your identity, it takes time to sort all of that out. The Bucks went from a defensive team to an offensive team with that Damian Lillard trade. The Knicks did the same thing, right? They won with defense last year. You ship out Dante DiVincenzo. You don't have any healthy bigs to speak of other than Karl Anthony Towns, but you have completely reshaped to an offensive team with very little depth. The 76ers completely reshaped their identity on both ends of the floor. Those things take time to figure out. You can say, well, the Celtics, it didn't take time. Celtics didn't change their identity at all. The Celtics basically swapped Marcus Smart for a much better version of Marcus Smart in Drew Holiday. You got rid of a defensive player in Robert Williams, but he was low on the totem pole for you. And you brought in Kristaps Porzingis. That is one thing to keep in mind. And that's another reason why I, at the very least, feel better about where this team is headed this season than I did a year ago because of that time factor. Because it is year number two, 1.5 under Doc Rivers. It's year number two with Giannis and Damian Lillard. The young guys had a chance to go through training camp with Doc. These are all very good things for the Bucks. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. It's an important NBA Cup game in Miami against the Heat. 6:30 tip-off from South Beach. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. I will talk to you then.